You know what creeps me out more, though, is confined spaces. Like, I can't even...
You get claustrophobic?
Yeah, if I have to go under the bed to find something, to pull something out or something, I can't even, like... I gotta get back out and breathe real fast.
Yeah.
I hate that. So I could not do this. Brian, and I don't think most people could or would ever do this. Guy named Brian has a book out based on a real experience that happened to him in 1965. Brian is from the UK. And the name of his book is called The Crate Escape. The Crate Escape. And in 1965, Brian got his two friends, his two co-workers, to put him into a crate and mail him from Australia to the UK.
That's quite a trip. How long does that take?
Brian was 19 years old at the time, okay? And he is working in Australia. He is from the UK, but he goes to Australia on this job and realizes he hates this job and he's homesick. He wants to go home. And so he's talking to his friends about this. And I don't know who had the idea. But the idea was to get to London in the crate, go home, and nobody would know anything about it. The reason they wanted to do it this way is because this guy went from the UK to Australia to work for a railways company, okay? And he had a contract with the Australian government to stay and work there for 2 years. If he broke the contract, he would have to pay back the money to the country that got him there. So he would have to pay back
a few thousand dollars,
which was a lot of money back then, and he didn't have it. So somehow getting shipped in a crate was his way around it. So that was the plan. They would do this. So these two guys devised this whole thing, and they bought a wooden crate. Brian barely fit inside this crate. He says his knees were folded up to his chest.
Imagine you sitting like that for weeks.
It was only supposed to take a couple of days.
Okay.
But still, you're in a crate, knees folded up to your chest for 2 days. You're nailed in. They nail him in. They give him a bottle of water. They give him one bottle of water and an empty bottle to pee in. But one bottle of water and a flashlight. And a pillow and a hammer to break out.
Other than that, it's pitch blackness.
Yeah. They covered the crate with labels that read fragile, handle with care, and this side up. So it was supposed to fly from Melbourne, Australia, to London within 36 hours. And then presumably he had somebody on the other end. Well, he had the hammer. He was going to get out of the crate when he got to London after a day and a half and then find his way home. Well, it took longer than that. Instead of the day and a half, Brian ended up inside that crate for 5 days. There was a screw up. He said it was terrifying. He says, I was passing in and out of consciousness. I was lacking oxygen. And he said, furthermore, the airport crews weren't paying attention to the crate's labels, like fragile, this side up.
Banging it around.
He said at one point he was upside down on a tarmac, literally sitting on his head for 24 hours because there wasn't enough room in the crate for him to turn around. Won't that kill you?
You would think.
If you're upside down for 24 hours?
It'd be awful.
He said,
and you can't move?
He said at that point he considered breaking free. We're going to hear this guy in just a second. He said he considered breaking free and giving up on the whole deal. He said, I played with the idea for a few seconds and convinced myself, all right, I've gone this far. I can't embarrass myself now. I got to go all the way through with this thing. He said the last 5 or 6 hours of flying, he was convinced that he was going to die. He says, I was trapped in the hold of an aircraft with no air.
Why didn't you just bust yourself out? I mean, if you were going to break out when you landed anyway, I'm the first second of panic. I'm out.
At that point, you get out. Well, I think he's probably worried maybe that he's going to be arrested or something, but
so
aren't
what?
You worried about living?
Yeah. Yeah, so what?
He said at that point, he said when he was in the plane, he couldn't move a muscle. He couldn't get out of the crate.
Then how are you going to bang the boards hard enough to open that thing?
He wasn't expecting to be in there for 5 days.
Yeah.
So he's in the plane. He can't maneuver his body at all anymore at this point. But he did have the flashlight in his hand. He turns on the flashlight, and then an airport worker sees that flashlight go on in there, looks into the hole of the crate, and freaks out. He says, the airport worker was looking straight into my eye. And then he's, and then this Brian guy said, I heard all kinds of commotion outside. People were shouting about a dead body being in the crate. He said, within a short time, there were 20 or 40 people around, FBI, CIA, everybody, because now this was in the United States is where he was.
I thought he said there was like an Olympic Games going on, so maybe they thought there was some kind of weird kind of something happening in conjunction with that.
He was put on the wrong plane and landed in Los Angeles. He says, after U.S. officials determined that he was neither dead nor a threat, he was free to go home. Pan Am Airlines flew him first class. He said, oh,
they stretch those legs out, son.
He said, the Americans were great. The FBI, the CIA, I fell in love with America. Everybody looked after me. And he said it.
Can I get a new set of pants, though? Because, you know, 5 days I was wearing those same drawers.
Here's the crate guy.
It was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Terrifying. I spent most of my time, I think, in trying to control myself, i.e. calm myself down, because I didn't know whether I was dreaming it, whether it was actually happening. Was I dreaming about it? Was it a nightmare? Was I really there? And then in between all that, of course, I couldn't breathe properly half the time, couldn't move. Certainly after the first, I don't know, perhaps 36 hours, my muscles were all seizing up.
So there were reports on this back in the time when this happened in 1965. There were some media reports about all of this. And now he's looking for the two guys. He's trying to find those two dudes who put him in the crate. He hasn't talked to them since then. So he's got his book out there called The Crate Escape. And he's trying to locate these two dudes because you can assume that they would remember something like this.
Yeah.
And probably wanted to know whatever happened to that guy. That guy die? Because I don't know, maybe the news reports never made it back to Australia.
And like an airport is a noisy place. So if you did start to scream or something like that, they're not going to hear you over the roar of jet engines and things and stuff slamming around.
He's not up for 9:30 Knucklehead of the Week because this happened in 1965. But we'll give him the honorary Knucklehead of the Year award for 1965 since we don't have anybody else in there.